And it was a huge roller coaster. I think it was the biggest roller coaster in the world. And I got sat in this roller coaster one time we were there. And I'm a bit nervous of roller coasters. But they sat me in the roller coaster. People can come out if they wish. You don't have to come out. Listen, young ones, if you can stay and you can concentrate and think on the scriptures, you stay. Because you can be blessed out there, but you'll be blessed in here as well. If you have the capacity, you just stay. But you all know where you are with that. So I brace myself. I sit in this thing. A big thing comes down. You know if you've been on those things. The bar comes over you, sets you in position in the roller coaster. And I was bracing myself because it was the biggest roller coaster in the world or something. And there I am, sitting like this, and Micah is sitting next door to me. And then it's off very quickly around a couple of bends, and then we stopped. And I thought, wow. It was quick, I thought, but it wasn't as bad as I thought at all. In fact, I think I've been on quicker ones. And so I spoke to the bloke. There was a chap here, and I said, it's shorter than I thought it would have been. And he said, what do you mean? I said, the ride. He said, that wasn't the ride. He said, that was to bring you to the start of the ride. Oh. My dear brothers and sisters, then it began. Oh, we shot off on this thing, and it was a journey. But I tell you what, I just think of that. Before I go into the scriptures, there's a description of something that really took my breath away. But that was a journey. But we're about to enter onto a journey this morning, which in many ways is just so much more dramatic than any roller coaster ride could be. The only question is, will we allow it to take us on that journey? You see, and that's a question for each one of us to answer. If we answer yes to that, what can happen is we can have an experience in the Word of God this morning that can change everything. But if we just take it as it's another Sunday morning, and here's the bit now, this is the scripture bit and the sermon bit, and soon that'll be over, and that'll be great because I'm going to have a cup of coffee and a tea, and that'll be nice. If we have that, we're not going to receive. But if we have the attitude of something, we're going on a journey. It's a journey into truth. It's a journey into a book that initiated 500 years ago this year, the Reformation, when Martin Luther decided that, in fact, a conviction came upon him that it was by faith alone that we're saved, not by the paying of indulgences or anything else that was taught by the religious establishment. No, it's by faith. And he got it from the Word. And the Word became alive to him. It quickened him. And when he got that, he said, yes, it's by faith. And I'm going to take that on board. And he nailed that thesis on the door in Wittenberg. And that was the start of the Reformation. They say that really that was it. That was where they pinpointed to. But you think about what could be the start for us as we take a scripture on board in our lives and say, hold on a sec, the Bible says, and therefore I change my life. The Bible says, by faith alone, you're saved. You take it on board, it'll change everything. And there can be other things that we can take on board this morning. Who's ready to take things on board this morning? People ready? Yes. Amen? Now, I would suggest, if possible, take notes. Because if we believe the statistics, 95% of what I'm going to say is going to be lost pretty quickly. Now, if you're not taking notes, that's okay. Take mental notes. Best if you can write them down. But if you can't, take mental notes and take these things down. And then let's apply these. Because you see, once we put stock in something, that's when it can make a difference. We need to put stock in something. then it makes a difference. We need to stand on something, then it makes a difference. Some people say, well, you know, the Bible is great, you know, I believe the Bible, but, you know, they don't really believe it because they don't put stock in it. They sort of believe it, they believe that more than, but it's a sort of wishy-washy thing. It's not putting stock in the thing. In other words, committing to it. So let's commit now as we enter into the scriptures this morning. And first of all, let's go to the New Testament book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. Ephesians 6, verse 12, and it says this: we wrestle Notice there's a wrestling taking place. There's a wrestling taking place. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Now, let me ask you a question. What do those forces of darkness use to rule? What's the commodity that they trade in? Fear. They use fear. Fear is the source of their power. And faith is the opposite of fear. And so those forces that are at work come onto people and say, and try and commit in their mind the imagination that God has gifted us with to go down a course of action that we wouldn't really want it to go down. In other words, they put fear thoughts in here, and now our imagination works with those fear thoughts, and now we're thinking all the things that we don't want to happen, all the things that we don't want to come upon us, and all of those things, we're thinking about those things. And we are employing our imagination to those ends, the ends that we don't want, fearful ends. It's interesting how the enemy works. He's so subtle. He uses fear and intimidation, suggestion. But the battle, my dear friends, is in the mind. It's in the mind, in the reasonings, in the imagination. It's in the thinking. This is why the New Testament teaches so much on our knowledge, our gnosis, our thinking. Be transformed in our thinking. Romans 12:2 talks about the transformation of our thinking, so that we don't think according to the old regime, the enemy's regime. Instead, we think along the lines of faith and the things that can happen and the bountiful supply of God and the victories that God has promised to us in the New Testament. You see, there are people who are Christians who don't enjoy those benefits. And you say, well, look, there's benefits in the New Testament. There's benefits for every area of life. There's victory through faith in the New Testament. It's there. They say, well, we don't experience that. Well, you may not be experiencing it, because I'm going to ask you a question. Where have you invested your thinking? Jesus gives us a very interesting instruction. In Matthew 21, 22, he says, believe and receive. In other words, how you think will affect what you receive. So if you invest in these fear-filled thoughts, you receive from fear-filled thinking. But if you invest in faith and say, I'm going to resist that thinking, everything in me wants to go down this way. All of my experience in life is pushing me this way. I've had a difficult time of things. You don't understand. I've had a very difficult time of it. It's all very well for you to talk. I've had a difficult time of it. I'm over in this place. Listen, my friend, the Bible understands full well where we are. The Bible really, we can't teach the Bible anything, can we? The Bible understands the frailty of mankind. But what the Bible is teaching us is this. You receive from what you believe. Jesus taught us that. And so he teaches us not to invest in that fear realm. Not to be so invested in those things that could go wrong. But to take discipline over our thinking, over our mind. Be transformed by the renewing of our mind. The Bible says, Romans 12:2. Be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And with the renewing of the mind then, instead of going the old way and thinking the old way, we say, I'm on a different path now. I used to think like that. I'm not on that path anymore. And I'm talking from personal experience. I've been on that side. But it's an exercise of my will. It's an exercise of your will. Yielding to what the word says. And this is what we have to do. The old story, the famous illustration. Let me see I'll share it with you this morning here. Anyone know how to train elephants in this room? If you do, put your hands up. Has anyone trained elephants? Okay, we've got a few people who've heard the illustration before, but has anyone trained elephants in this room actually done it? Anyone? No, okay. Well, how you train an elephant, what you do is, with the baby elephants, you know baby elephants are strong. They're so strong. So what you do, you get a big, thick, heavy chain, metal, thick chain. You stick the thing around its leg, and you stick a big post, metal post, you drive it into the ground, and then the elephant walks to the end of the chain, and then it has to stop. And when it stops, it retreats back, and that's it. It's limited, and it can go the same, there's the circumference, it can go over this way, then it's limited, it has to come back. And over a period of time, it understands the limits of the circumference that it can move within. Well, now, when that beast is fully grown, what do they need then? They've got one chain and a big, thick, heavy pole for the baby. What do they need for the fully grown elephant? Four chains? They only need a rope and a stick. Because the baby elephant has been so conditioned to feeling tension and then retreating back. Feels the tension on its leg, just that little pull, then it retreats back. That's all it needs is a rope. It's a remarkable thing. Well, you know, human beings are the same. In so far as we have grown used to the limits of our experience. And let me tell you, my dear friends, this New Testament is not limited to our experience. It's not confined to your experience and my experience and the limits of what we've encountered in life. It I don't know if this, it's flashing. I don't know if it keeps going off or it's working now. You can hear me anyway. It's the recording, I think. Thank you. When I took that on board, I realized that the world of opportunities was open to me now. Because instead of the limits of my experience and a pompous thinking, I was now like a little child entering to read the Bible afresh and saying, well, hold on, the Bible says that faith can move mountains. Faith can cause things. I can move things. I can affect things through faith working in me because I'm a new creation. The fact that I'm a new creation has tremendous power in me. I'm a blood-bought child of the living God. I'm a co-heir with Christ. I'm walking in more authority than anyone in the Bible college ever told me. In fact, as a new creation now, I need to have a different type of perspective and walk differently in this world. I need to leave the remits of religion behind, and I need to walk as a child of God. I need to start speaking to mountains. I need to start believing for miracles and seeing those things happen in my life. And so that's when testimony started to happen. Oh, I'm so happy, my dear friends. I'm so happy to know Jesus as my Savior. I'm so happy in my heart this morning that Jesus called me. He elected me. He wooed me. I came. I went on this journey. And then instead of, you know, being harsh with me, he was so soft and gentle with me. Aren't you glad that's what he's like? He's not harsh. He's gentle and loving. And he's so loving to us. And you're so precious to him. And our families are so precious to him. And he's got plans for us, folks. He's got plans for us. Let me tell you this. The call of God is this. He's calling us to start now more and more working in these realms. The miracles. We've seen many miracles in the church. The supernatural things of God. The walk of faith. I'm so happy we walked in faith. When I started to understand this, everything I did was affected. You know, I had a change. I was, you know, you picture the big elephant snapping through the rope saying, hold on, I'm going on a different journey here. I'm going to explore. I was like that. I'm going to explore. What does this say in the Bible? All things are possible. Speak to your mountain. Well, what's your mountain? Anything that's in the way. That's what Jesus means. And Jesus says in Mark 11, he says, speak to it. That's interesting. He says, speak to it. Because what happened was my talking started to change. I realized that there was value and potential in my talking. You see, by his breath, the worlds were created in Genesis. He spoke the worlds into existence by the breath of his mouth. Elohim spoke it. And now I'm in his image. And Jesus says, have the faith of God in Mark 11. And he says, speak to your mountain. What a thing for us. What a great opportunity. And Jesus, of course, also says, be careful, every idle word. You have to give an account for it. What's an idle word? An idle word is a word that doesn't produce. So I understood that my words needed to produce. My words can produce. They're going to produce. They can produce in the realm of fear. Oh, I'm getting a cold. Oh, it's never going to happen. Oh, I'm just this way. Oh, you know, I can't do that. I'm no good at this. And I'm this. And you can invest your imagination, the imagination that God has given you, you can invest it into that negative, naysaying realm. Or you can be someone who speaks a good report. And those who speak a good report enter into a promised land. And by speaking a good report, you say, you don't necessarily deny the truth that you are feeling at the minute. Feelings. But what you do is you say, well, I've got a cold that's trying to get hold of me. Cold is trying to get hold of me. Praise be to God. Thank you, Lord, for your victory, or whatever it might be. I don't want to labor the point about speaking. That wasn't what I was getting at. But it was affecting, my testimony is it was affecting everything in my life. And so one of the realms was speaking. But the other realm was believing. I remember the time when Micah and I were stuck in Canada. We'd purchased a house in Canada. And we were choosing wallpaper for this home and the kitchen and the various, you know, things. And we were in this shop, but we had a plane to catch, and we had four meetings that day. And right at the start of the day, it was snowing outside, and it gets cold in Canada, you know. It was minus 20 degrees, and we were in Micah's mum's old car. And we went out there. She'd left the lights on. The thing was completely flat. The batteries go flat in that cold quick. And the car was just flat as a pancake. We tried it a few times. And, you know, my darling just burst into tears. You know, when your darling bursts into tears, it gets you, doesn't it? But I remembered what the scriptures, what I'd been learning in the scriptures. And I remembered that actually, no. There's a mountain. I can speak to this mountain. So, is the battery in the car? Well, battery, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I speak to you now, and I'm telling you, come alive! You speak anything with faith, you watch what happens. As it turns the keys, vroom, 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 starts up, no problem at all, first time. That's what happens with faith. Hallelujah. And that happens, and then other things, and other things, and other things, and people with miracles, deaf ears opened, blind eyes seeing, the lame walking. Who did it all? Jesus. And he's looking for a body that he can use. Hallelujah. Jesus does it through those people who are yielded enough that they don't care if someone thinks they're a fool. Don't care if anyone, it doesn't bother me. I don't value their opinion enough to be concerned. Really, I honestly don't. I've learned that the opinion that I value must be the Holy Scriptures. And when I put a higher value on the Holy Scriptures and yield to what the Holy Scriptures are saying, then I will experience the power of God alive in my life. And listen, my friends, God wants me to say this to you this morning. When I was asking him what to speak today, he said, speak this today. I said, yes, I'll speak this. And I'll tell you why. Because no one in this room is here by accident. If he told me to speak this today, it's for people in this room today. So listen and listen well, okay? Because the miracle mountain moving potential of God Almighty is yours for the taking if you are a blood-bought child of God. If you trust in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, it's yours for the taking. The question is, Are you putting your efforts into fear, in the fear realm? Oh, it'll never happen to me. Oh, it's okay for you to talk. Or are you going to say, well, I used to be like that. But you know what? It's time for a change. It's spring has sprung. And I'm going to spring with it. And I'm going over on this side into the realm of faith. And I'm going to live in faith and victory. And I'm going to talk faith. I'm going to believe faith. I'm going to have the things of faith and the things of God. I'm going to be a mountain removing Christian from now on. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Give him a clap, folks. It's all to do with Jesus and saying, yes, Lord, I will be a yielded person. I'm going to yield to your lordship. I'm going to allow you to have your way in and through my life. So, there's the introduction. We're going to have to move on this evening into other parts of this. Because I wanted to give you something very tangible. And if you're not writing it down, I'm going to see if you can remember it. 3 points. And the first point is this. And these 3 points, I would say this. 3 steps for victory in your life. Amen? It's worth writing down, folks. Worth keeping up right in that mind of yours. Number one, and it's in line with what we heard earlier, which I was so thankful for. Make the quality decision, I will not be defeated. I will receive from God. I will not be defeated. I will receive from God. Every child of God can say that. Matthew 7, 9 to 11. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Praise be to God. Amen? It's clear and it's straightforward, folks. God is with me, say. I will be victorious. I will receive all his good gifts in my life. But you know, the first scripture that we read from Ephesians talks of a wrestling, a fight that's taking place. There is a fight that's taking place. The scriptures say, fight the good fight of faith. The fight is taking place. You know, when I was a young boy, my dad, you know, I was a happy young boy, and forgive me for using this illustration, but it's the best illustration I could think of. When I was a young boy, my dad used to be a boxer, and he taught me how to box. But I didn't do much boxing. I preferred golf and chess. But we'd moved into this new area, and we were in a park, and my brother and a friend, and there was 3 rough boys over there. And they came over, and my brother, who was younger than me, and my friend walked away. And I said, I'm not going away. They said, you have to get off the swings. There are swings. I mean, we were talking probably 15 years old, something like that, you know. So we weren't young boys. We were 15, something like that. I said, well, I'm not getting off the swings. No, I like the swings. I think I'm going to stay here. And they said, no, you have to get off. There are swings. It's not your park. You get off the swings. I said, no, I'm going to stay on the swings. And so my friend walked, with my brother, they walked away. Anyway, these rough boys, they got me, and they got me on the ground, and then they were punching me and kicking me. And I just thought, well, I'll cover up, and it'll be over soon. But then when I was being kicked on the ground, I thought, well, hold on a sec. My mum wouldn't be happy my mum saw this now, she'd be very upset. And I thought, they're upsetting my mum. But I just thought, oh, they're upsetting my mum. Now, that's not right. Now, then I got mad at the thought of them upsetting my mum.
So I said, okay, you want to fight? I'm going to give you a fight. So I snapped into the fight, and I jumped up, and I gave one a punch, and I gave another a punch, and then I started chasing them. I said, come on, you wanted a fight. Now you're going to get a good fight. Well, anyway, those boys run off, and, you know, they were the rough boys in school. But it was so funny. Every time I passed them in school, I was the captain of the chess team. Every time I passed them in school, all the rough boys, they'd say, hi, Steve. But it's sort of like that with the devil, with the enemy. You know, what happens is Christians, I think that Christians very often, we're nice people. We're God has changed us and we're soft, you know. But I think sometimes we become too soft and too soft with ourselves. And I think that sometimes it's that the enemy is beating us. And we say, well, it's okay. I can take it. Yeah, you can take it. Of course you can take it. The question is, you're called to walk in victory. It's not about what you can take. It's about saying, look, my Father wants me to walk in victory. That's what the New Testament teaches. I like that song, walking in faith and victory. Come on and walk in faith and victory. For the Lord and thy God is with you. Let's stand, shall we? Be bold, be strong. For the Lord thy God is with you. Be bold, be strong. For the Lord thy God is with you. I am not afraid, no way. I will not dismay, because I'm walking in faith and victory. Come on and walk in faith and victory. For the Lord thy God is with you. Be bold, be strong, because the Lord thy God is with you. Be bold. And be strong, because the Lord thy God is with you. I am not afraid, I will not dismay, because I'm walking in faith and victory. Come on and walk in faith and victory, for the Lord thy God is with you. Hallelujah. Glory. Thank you, Lord. Let's just take our seats. Walking in faith and victory, right? Now watch this. We're walking in faith and victory. We're not meant to be pummeled. We're not meant to be beaten. We're meant to walk in faith and victory. And so the thing is this. If you find yourself in a place that you're less than victorious in life, and victory can mean different things, and we won't go into all the definitions of that now. We don't have the time. But you'll know, the Holy Spirit will teach you and show you if this applies to you. And he's teaching us this morning. And the thing is this, the first point of the three is this, and I'm going to move very quickly. Make the decision, the quality decision, I will not be defeated. I will be victorious. And sometimes that means we do not cover up. We do not say, well, I can take it, I can stand it. We say, no, I'm going to be who God called me to be. He told me that I was an ambassador for Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm going to live as an ambassador for Christ. Otherwise, I'm not following this word. I'm not following it unless I live as an ambassador. I'm not following it unless I'm living in the miraculous. I expect to see miracles. If I don't, something's wrong. Because this book is a miraculous book. What the religion of Christianity has done is try to turn it into rules and regulations and sort of make it a controlling thing. Not meant for that. It's meant for life and victory and power. And he's called us to live in that. And we're going to live in that, aren't we? Yes. And we're going to live this way, and we're going to see the works of God, and our family members and our friends and those people, we're going to be strong and committed. We're going to look them in the eye and tell them what we believe. And if they think that we've gone off,
That's their prerogative. Perfectly entitled. I and you don't care what they think, do we? We don't care what they think. We care about serving a living God. It's not about how we appear to people. You know, the church these days is so... The religious environment has made it so, you know, oh, you know, we want to be, we just want to, oh, just come in, please, and we'll just, we're just, you know, it's a, there's no offense, you know, I just want to be just so, well, I'm sorry, the gospel is an offense. It's an offensive thing what Jesus did. It is an offense to many people. And he's not pussyfooting around. He's the way, he is the truth, he is the life. He is exclusive. He's strong in that. He doesn't leave room for various options. Someone said to me recently, he said, oh, well, you know, all religions are basically the same. Well, I said, clearly, I said, you're not someone who studied. If you study the various books of the various faiths that are in the world, demonstrably, they're different. They're entirely different. Anyone with an intellect can say, well, you know, they're completely different. What they offer is completely different. It's just an uneducated simpleton or an utter compromiser, of which there are many in the religion of Christianity, who aren't Christians, but they're in leadership positions. You know, those folks can do that. But for real Christians, I mean, you know, this is an exclusive thing. Oh, well, that's narrow-minded. Yeah, absolutely. Of course it is. Yes, that's right, yes. Oh, but that's not being inclusive. That's not being, you're not being tolerant to other possibilities. That's right. Yes, that's absolutely right. Yeah, that's who we are. And we're going to set a website up, perhaps, for the intolerant bigot society. I'll be the president and we'll have a committee. Hands up. Who wants to be the treasurer? Yeah. We'll call it, yeah, you know, we'll come up with something, you know. Because at the end of the day, as we've been saying as a theme recently, 2 and 2 is 4. It's not 4.1. Oh, well, I think it's 4.1. Well, you can think whatever you want. You're perfectly entitled to think what you want. We wouldn't stop you from that, but you're wrong. Ah, but you're being narrow-minded because you just say it's 2. Well, you can call it being narrow-minded. I call it being right. I call it the truth. Yeah, but I think it's 3.5. Well, you're entitled to your opinion. The answer is 4, always has been 4, always will be 4. It's an absolute. And absolutes are unpopular in this modern world of relativism. But absolutes are very popular in the Holy Scripture. We serve a God who has absolutes. You know, gravity is an absolute, folks. I feel like saying sometimes to these people, you know, who come up with their theories of, you know, relativism, I say, well, I'll tell you what, go and jump out of the top of that building and see if gravity's relative. See, you know, tell me what you think. No, they'll know for sure they'll fall if they do that. They won't jump out of it. But with, you know, other things, they think they can be clever. Well, I'm sorry, it doesn't work with us because we know in whom we have believed. Amen? Amen. We know in whom we have believed. So point one, folks, is make a quality decision. I will not be defeated. I will receive from God. In fact, everyone say this with me, after me. I'm going to say the line. You say it with me. I will not be defeated. I will receive from God. Amen. Now, point two, okay? Point two is this. Resist Satan. Submit to God. Resist Satan and refuse to entertain his thoughts, because he is a liar. He comes, the prince of the power of the air. That's why I'm the prince of the power of the air is one of the descriptions that we have. It's an interesting description, isn't it? The prince of the power of the air. I just keep thinking of satellite TV. I keep thinking of that communication. It's an interesting thought. We won't labor it, but it's interesting how that is one of the descriptions of him. He's a liar. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians 10, 3 to 5. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 to 5. And as we're turning there, of course, the reference that we are basing point 2 on is from James 4, 7. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 to 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God. For pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Notice it says high thing. Against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought, not some thoughts, every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Every thought, hallelujah. So the strongholds of Satan are in the mind, in the reasonings and the imaginations. And he will try and plant things in there. Or you can't do this. Or you don't believe him, do you? He's a bit funny, that bloke. He's Welsh, you know. He gets excited, you know. You don't want to believe that. You don't want to believe that. He whispered just as you go out of this door. Or even now. Don't believe that. You don't want to believe the miracle. Forget that. That's just his experience. He doesn't, you know. The enemy's like this, folks. Am I right? Yeah. And so what we're going to do, we're going to be wise and say, you know what? I'm not going to listen to his lies. I'm not going to listen to those suggestions. I'm going to resist. And I'm going to be aware of his schemes. And I'm going to place myself in this position, which we're going to reference in point 3, by doing these things. The right position in God. So I'm going to resist him. I resist those things. I will not use my imagination for things of fear and imagining all the things that could go wrong. I'm going to instead use my imagination for the things of faith. I'm going to start believing, using my imagination to enter into that realm of the supernatural. We are supernatural beings. We've been metamorphosized for the supernatural realm. The enemy tries to pull us into the natural, folks. He tried to pull you in the natural. He'd try and get you to live in the natural. He'd try and get you to live and think and exist in the natural realm. Doesn't want you to start believing and having faith for things. Just wants to keep you contained to that little sphere that you're used to. Don't pop out of that. Just go there and then he'll try and use fear, intimidation, your friends, your family members, or whatever else it might be to stop you bursting out. But God has got a mission for you. God's got a mission for you. You are called of God. He has a plan for you. He's got a purpose for you. You're on a mission from God. You're on a mission from God. You really are on a mission from God, my brother. And he's got a plan and a purpose. And he's saying, now listen now, you make sure you invest your thinking in this realm, in the things of God, and you resist that realm. And God's going to use your imagination to think of his thoughts, think of his ways, bringing those scriptures to life. The Old Testament even talks about witty inventions for business, for example. But all sorts of things, the miraculous realm. And we burst out into that miraculous realm. Miracles, all manner of things. Who here has gone up to a stranger under the leading of the Holy Spirit? You didn't know them. but you were walking through some shops and God spoke to you so clearly and he told you to walk up to that person and you told them a direct thing from God and they were amazed. Praise God. I see a couple of hands up. That's a whole different realm. When I spent time with a man called Norval Hayes once, and dear brother Norval Hayes was from America, and he told me, he said, I just listen to God, and he tells me, it was a revelation for me. When I started to understand these things, he said he listens to God, and God directs him in the day. He was America's Businessman of the Year once. And so he'd say, Norval, I want you to buy that building over there. He was in India, and he said, turn it into a hospital for the folks. He said, yes, sir, I'll do it. Bought the thing, turned it into a hospital. God used him in lovely things like that. I said, Lord, I want to be used like that. I like that. That's an adventure of faith. Now I like that. I said, you know, direct me, Lord. Will you direct me? I was walking through the market in Tletley. And I was saying to him, Lord, just direct me. Anything you want me to do, anywhere you want me to go, Lord, I'm going to go there. I pray I'll be sensitive, Lord. Help me, I pray, in Jesus' name. I walked through this market, walking through. I said, where should I go, Lord? He said, go over this way. Walk over this way. He said, go over there. Go over there. I was visiting, so I didn't know what was there or anything. And there was a shop there, all witchcraft. He said, go there. I thought, am I hearing from the Lord here, or is this the enemy? You know, okay, Lord, I'll go over. He said, pick that book up. I picked the book up. I'm talking to the Lord. I said, Lord, I hope no one who knows me sees me looking at an encyclopedia of the occult in this witch's shop. You know, this is something I don't want to do. But I said, I'm following you, Lord, and just show me what to do, Lord. Show me what you want me to do. And I'm flicking through the pages. And the woman comes over, scary-looking woman, dressed all in black, with the long hair and the funny look in her eyes. And she said, can I help? I said, no, thanks. I just continued. I'm not going to say anything unless he tells me to say, oh, I'm not just, after a few minutes, she comes back again. She said, can I help? I said, no. She said, you interested in the supernatural things or magic, she said. I said, yes, I said. I said, my master's very powerful. She said, oh. She said, would you tell me about him? I said, I'm not sure. I said, that depends on you. She said, what do you mean? I said, what I'm going to tell you, I said, would be shocking, props. Are you prepared to give me 5 minutes of your unprejudiced attention? I said, 5 minutes of unprejudiced attention. She said, she thought about it. She said, yes. I said, are you sure? She said, yes. I said, okay. And I started. I said, he is the most awesome, wonderful Savior. By his breath, the worlds were created. Miracles flow from him. He is living water. He is everywhere. He is omnipotent, omnipresent. He has a plan for humanity. He has rescued people through the cross. And I started to speak and I poured out the gospel in 5 minutes. At the end of the gospel, I said this to her. I said, in this very moment, he's calling you to be saved. Will you be saved? And like a ton of bricks, I mean like a ton of bricks smashing into that shop, she said, yes. She said, I want to be saved. at that moment, a gypsy woman who'd been praying for her for years appeared, just appeared. And she said, can I help? I said, yes, I said. We're praying now. This lady is coming to faith in Jesus. And we prayed together. And then the encyclopedia that I was reading, she gave it to me. She says, take this. She said, I've got to shut this shop down, haven't I? I said, that's right. So I took the encyclopedia from her. She said, I've got to shut this shop down. I said, that's what you've got to do. I took the encyclopedia to a Christian shop in that town. I left her with a gypsy woman who was counseling her. I came back. We ripped the encyclopedia up in the shop with the owner. I took Christian literature back to her. And I gave her the Christian literature. There was celebration, singing, and the joy of the Lord in that shop that day. It was a celebration to Jesus. I went back in 2 weeks' time. The thing was closed down. She had kept her word. She closed the shop down, folks. Gone. It happened because I said, Lord, use me, direct me. Because I'd heard the testimony of a man who was telling me about how he speaks and hears from God. Isn't that something? And he's got that in store for all of us. Now look, I'm telling you this, a church that's doing that is not just going to affect this community here. We're going to have an impact not just contained to this area. The impact will go wider and wider, like rivers and rivers, and flowing and flowing and growing and flowing, and it'll just start to go like that. When people who are following Jesus without any funny biases, just following him, are committed to the scriptures and what the scriptures teach. Praise God. Look, very quickly, we're coming to an end as we close. The third thing, give your attention to God's word. Give your attention to God's word. In other words, fix your mind on God's word. It says in Joshua 1:8, let's read it. The book of the law, this book of the law, shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. We are committing ourselves to the Word of God. Knowing who we are in Him and taking His promises as they're written will give us a powerful adventure of faith, folks. Faith will take it. Faith can take that healing. Faith can take that opportunity. The number one cause of stress for this society is a lack of finances. Lack of finances. Tremendous, tremendous impact that has on people's lives. Faith can help in that realm. Exercising faith. Not exercising worry, fear, and doubt, and oh, what will happen if this doesn't go right, and if that doesn't go right, if that doesn't... No, don't play games with that nonsense. Say, oh, my God will supply all my needs according to his riches in glory. Amen. Given, it should be given to you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. God has got a plan for me, and it's not to see me begging, and it's not to see me in lack, and it's not to see me going without. No, the righteous don't beg bread. That's what the scriptures teach. That'll never happen, folks. But the enemy wants to keep people in the torment of their thinking. What could go wrong? And in fear. And God is saying, if you'll only believe me. And you know, people say, oh, well, it's money, it's not spiritual. Hey, listen, don't give me that. Money is, there's a spiritual thing attached to money. The love of money is the root of all evil. Be very careful. The love of money is the root of all evil. But having money as a tool and being free from the stress, the number one cause of divorce is cited as lack of funds. Money worries, that's the number one cause of divorce. The number one cause of ill health, according to doctors surveyed, is stress. Isn't that something? Stress about finance. So what I'm saying is we can exercise faith in every realm. God wants us to do that, not just for ourselves. Listen, I have on my desk letters from pastors in this country and in other nations of the world. Pastors with lack. So much lack. I sat with Pastor David. We were looking at these letters saying, what can we do to help these dear brothers? What can we do? I mean, you'd have to be a big bank to take care of it, folks. People, children, in, you know, one of the bishops is this morning gathering food in the dump. And the children are living on the dump in the Philippines. They're living on the dump. And he, the bishop, is there with his wife and the pastors, and they're gathering tables and they're putting food on those tables and giving, I'm talking 3-year-olds living on the dump, fending for themselves. It just makes me weep. It makes me weep, folks. And so this message is a very important message. Never dismiss about finances. Don't dare think it's not spiritual. It has a massive impact. We've been privileged to send medical aid to them in the past. All sorts of things. Doctors and nurses have been sent to them. People who can just cut their hair, you know. And every Sunday, gather food, put food there for them. And as we sat down and said, well, what can we do? What, you know, well, we've got some money that we can give, but it's not enough. And besides that, God hasn't called us to be a bank. And I spoke to the Lord once and he said, listen, you give what I tell you to give, to whom I tell you to give it, when I tell you to give it, the rest you're free. Because I was so caught up in it. And it set me free. And I was so thankful to him for doing that. But why am I saying this? I'm saying this because I want those pastors, as well as us here, to exercise faith in that realm. To say, Lord, I'm going to believe. Why? Because if you believe, you can receive. It doesn't matter if you're in the depths of the jungle in Africa. The Bible's still true. Ah, yeah, but there isn't this, but there is. I don't care, but what? I've seen it happen. I've seen what God does with one of these guys who said, you know what, he understood this and he got hold of this. The law of faith in these areas. And he said he's in the middle of a drought land in the third world. And he got hold of this teaching. And he said, yes, I can believe God. And so he started to do things and plant and make an irrigation system and just believe God. Well, anyway, months went by. A plane was flying overhead, and the plane said, how on earth can that plane? That's flourishing. Look at that. That farm there is flourishing. There's crops and the grass. There's grass on the thing. Everything else outside of its boundaries is dry and arid. It doesn't make sense. So the government got in touch with him and said, what are you doing? He said, the only thing I've changed is my belief. He said, I've started to believe that I will receive from God because God promises that for me in the scripture. They said, No. You must be doing something different. He said, because I was believing, I put an irrigation system in and it did affect some practical things. But he said, I haven't done anything. An irrigation system is no good unless it rains, folks, unless there's water. He said, the only thing I've done is I changed what I was believing. Before, he was in the realm of fear. Oh, there's no rain, there's no, it's just, you know, and what if this doesn't happen and that doesn't happen, then I have to sell it, and then this is going to happen, and there's a difference. You invest in your imagination into what if and it can't and all that. And then he stepped over into the realm of faith and said, I'm going to pull it into existence by faith. I'm going to make it happen by faith. You say, well, that doesn't make sense. That's right. It doesn't make sense. You're absolutely right. 100% right. You got it. It doesn't make sense. I can't figure it out. I don't understand why the miracles happen. Who am I? Who are you? But we're something when we submit to Jesus. And Jesus' word is alive. And it'll shape us and give us a brilliant future. Praise be to God. Let's just stand, shall we? So, Heavenly Father, as we close this service now, Father, we give everyone an opportunity just to respond, just briefly now, folks. We're going to close in a prayer. And if you want to respond this moment, if the Holy Spirit has been speaking to you, you respond now. You respond to him right now and you say, yes, I want to take those 3 points on board. I'm going to take those 3 points on board. Number one, I will not be defeated. I will receive from God. I make that quality decision. Number two, I will resist Satan. I'm going to refuse to entertain his thinking. And point number three, as we've said, I will yield my life and give attention to God's word. I'm going to fix my mind on his word from this morning onwards, this afternoon onwards now. So every eye closed, no one looking around. Father God, Heavenly Father, we worship and honor you this morning. We're so thankful for you and all that you represent, all that you are. Heavenly Father, we respond now to the unction of the Holy Spirit speaking into our hearts. And Father, as we raise our hands in response, Lord, we're making a commitment to you. If you want to respond to God and say this morning, yes, I'm going to have a shift of thinking now. The Holy Spirit is speaking to me. I'm going to have a shift of thinking. That's for me. Raise your hand now and respond to God. You're responding to God, no one else. I see hands responding. Thank you, Father God. Father God, we are responding to you, Heavenly Father. We're responding in faith. And Father God, as we do this now then, we commit ourselves to you. That Father, your will manifest in and through our lives. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. Amen. Amen.